So the seventh layer, is it like a certain depth or is it certain levels of?
Certain levels down into the ground.
Whatever. So as far as its depth below the surface of the ground, that can vary depending on the thicknesses of whatever the layers are. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, if you take like 8 feet per level, seven stories down, something like that, 48, 54 feet down. I'll come to the Knights Templar and how they discover this in a little bit. But the Ark stays there pretty much until Cleopatra seduces Mark Antony. He knows about the Ark. And she comes over. They get married and have a son. And their son, whose name I can't remember, I don't think it's Ptolemy, but it's something like that. He gets a hold of the Ark and takes it to Ethiopia. Along comes Alexander the Great. He conquers Egypt and Israel and says, you know what? This Ark belongs back in Jerusalem. So he takes it over there and he redelivers it underneath the earth, but not before he has some of his high priests look at it. And he discovers the plan reserved for humanity, and he utilizes as much of it as he can in conquering the known world, in building the city of Alexandria, and starting the Alexandrian Library. And one of the things that you learn about the Ark is it's all about knowledge, keys of knowledge, information. So in this huge library are thousands and thousands of scrolls and works of art and science and music. They're really big into music and pitch and tone and all of this spiritual technology. So he uses it, replaces the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem, and goes on his merry way and lives to be like 33 years old.
First, I have a question. How were they able to touch it and use it without dying?
They have handles on the Ark, and it's constructed in such a way that you can carry it. And the handles, they're actually circular rings that they run long rods through, and they can carry it with those rods, and the rods are never to be taken out.
That was in the movie, Indiana Jones.
Right.
That's the same thing, the Ark, that box?
Yeah. It's a big box that is made of gold and wood, certain kind of wood they have in the desert, and all of these different sacred stones. Okay, so, and this is where God lives. This is where Jehovah dwelt in their sojourn in the wilderness with Moses. And there was a cloud over it by day and fire over it by night. And there was an actual divine being that visited this tabernacle or the ark in the tabernacle and guided Moses all through the 40 years in the desert and gave them direction.
Curtis, that one more question. Didn't Noah build an ark?
Noah carried the information from Atlantis, the Atlanteans put all their knowledge, high knowledge, on these emerald tablets, and they gave it to Noah.
So the boat isn't the ark?
The boat was an ark that carried the ark.
Okay, gotcha.
See, everybody thinks that the boat was the ark. It's what the ark carried. It's what the boat carried that was the ark. The ark, you'll find, is an object of transference. It transfers knowledge, energy, power from one person to another. It's an ark. In fact, after Noah hit dry land, the first ark of the covenant with a promise, or the ark with a promise, was what? An ark,
a rainbow
was an ark, symbolic of what was in the ark. And the covenant was, anybody remember?
Never
going to destroy the world by water again. Some say the world will end in fire. Anyway, that's another story. So that was the ark of the covenant, and it was taken from Atlantis by Moses, given to Hermes, and then the pharaohs used the information from the ark to build the pyramids and Cheops, and they used the temple, the pyramid, to house the ark and also as a place of initiation. All right. So now the ark finds its way to Jerusalem. And it's there for the reign of David and Solomon, and the time is set for a new planetary initiation. And who should come along? From the royal bloodline. Through Mary and Joseph. Right. Along comes Jesus. Now, Jesus is a really super smart guy. He's 12 years old, and the high priests say, well, this guy, you know, he's supposed to be a Messiah. Let's go stand him in front of the ark and see what happens to him. So they did. And Jesus became one with the ark, and he looked in there, and he says, yeah, man, there's a lot of really good stuff in here. But I've got to learn more. I don't know enough to fulfill my destiny. I'm 12 years old. I'm a kid. I've got to go learn. And so he, during the lost years, the missing years, he goes to India, Tibet, all around, all the spiritual, sacred learning places around the world, around in his neck of the woods, which was kind of the world. And he ends up in Egypt. And he's initiated in the high courts of the high priests. And they take him to the top of a pyramid, which is called King's Level, about a third of the way down, and they take him through sacrificial rites and through educational rites and ceremonial rites, and they make him, one of the things they do in their ceremonies is you have to lay in a sarcophagus, a tomb, for 3 days. And you go through, you think, you know, you want to go through a purification process, that'll do it. You're alone with all your thoughts. You have to work everything out. You figure out your destiny, your life's path. Well, that's what Jesus went through. So he's now initiated as a high priest in the temple of the Egyptians. Plus, he's studied Buddhism and Hinduism and all the isms, and he's got it pretty well put together. Now he goes back to Jerusalem, and he takes another look at the ark. Now, this is where something really interesting happens.
But he's full grown now.
Yeah. He's 30 years old. He's ready to start his ministry. He's traveled and he knows and he's figured out a few things. He knows who he is, too. Now, people in the area of Israel are looking for a king, a Messiah, a Savior, to bail them out of bondage. They're in bondage again. Mm-hmm. Who to? The Romans. The Romans have conquered Israel and Jerusalem, and their presence is everywhere on coins, and you know they're building their buildings, and they're, you know, the Israelites have no real power anymore. They've been subjugated. And so Jesus is called upon, this is his mission, is to rescue the Israelites. But unlike Jehovah, who's more, he's a tribal god of the Jews. He's more of a warrior, masculine, strong god. Worship me or die kind of a god. There's another entity around the ark. And it's not Jehovah. And it's the Christ. So Jesus now connects with his father, who actually is his literal father. The father who gave him life is the Christ. And the Christ says, I am the King of Peace, and you are the Son of Peace, and together we are going to transform Israel in a way they may not be ready for. We may hit them like with a ton of bricks, but we will raise their consciousness to a high level of purity. And Jesus says, boy, that sounds like a heck of a plan. How are we going to pull this off? And the Christ said, well, I'm connected with the hierarchy and God, and I have power, and I dwell in the ark now, and there's information here that I'm going to pass on to you. And you, Jesus, are going to personify. You're going to personify all of the aspects of divinity, of God. Rather than go out and say, yeah, there's a path to God, a path to higher consciousness, you're going to go out and you're going to say, I am the path. I, a person, am the path. I am the way. I am the light. I am the Word. This is why it was written this way in John. I am the, and the Word, nothing was made without Him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And nothing was made without God, and the God was Him, because He personified the Word of God, showing that we're all words of God. I am the Son of God, He said, showing that we're all sons of God. So He took on Himself all the aspects of divinity. And so, you know, He's out talking to His people and putting His group of 12 together. And along come these other people, and they say, well, why don't you just show us a sign? Why don't you just bring down some manna out of heaven and show us how powerful you really are? He said, well, you know, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. He said, I am the living manna, that a man may eat thereof and not die. My blood is blood unto you, is nourishment unto you. My flesh is flesh unto you. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Well, boy, these people had a hard time with that. Most of them left him. Only his apostles remained. And he says, well, are you guys going to leave me too? And they said, well, where would we go? Man, we can't find stuff like this anywhere else. And we couldn't even write it better than this. So, but this was the power that Jesus had. He personified the aspects of God. And because He did that, He was deified. He was deified, and in fact, and He, well, before He gets deified, you know, He actually commits the ultimate sacrifice. He gives Himself. He says, I am love, and I'll show you, destroy this temple. And He's crucified to show His love for humanity. And He comes back 3 days later, but He's already done this, you know, before. But He was connected to the Father, so He doesn't really completely die.